Hey, gang. Welcome to National Bugle Radio. National Bugle Radio on RBN, Republic Broadcasting. RepublicBroadcasting.org. And you can go there and you can hear our archives. You can live stream this show. You can read news stories. What a great resource. Today, I will be taking calls. And that number here at RBN is 1-800-313-9443, 1-800-313-9443. One other website I will plug is nationalbugle.com, nationalbugle.com. It's got, it's a news amalgamation site, but you can also find my archives there and other fun things. I have what, under the header Slattery University, I've got links to all sorts of free online university lectures. So if you're going to go out and walk your dog, I know Mr. T, he's my study partner. When we're out walking, we are listening to lectures. And that's how he gets to be so smart. I don't know about me. So today, again, I want to play a little bit more from that recent debate last week, the debate of the century, the great debate that Mark and I had with Halsey English and Tom Luongo. It went pretty well. And I'm just playing little excerpts. I do suggest that you go and you can find the full 2.5 hour debate if you go to, you'll find it at DavidDuke.com for sure, and I think you can find it from National Bugle. Let me just check that real quick. It's there somewhere. Yes, it is there. Halsey Luongo versus Colette Slattery. Yeah, go ahead and check that out. What kind of great stuff would you be hearing? Well, you would be hearing this kind of great stuff. Mr. T, are you ready? Let's play... I might have started this yesterday, but let's play what I said about Harvard University. You ready, Mr. T? Let's go.
Okay, I don't know why we needed to spend the past half hour or so talking about gay marriage in Israel. I want to talk about why this phenomenon of Jewish power is so important and so central to all the problems we have today. One of the things about Jewish power is that people in America, most non-Jews in America, cannot recognize Jews. They can't recognize them from faces or names or accents or personal histories. Jews are much better at recognizing each other. There's an asymmetry in recognition. And this is really important in a lot of places because people watch TV and if they're watching the Senate debate, they don't realize Dianne Feinstein's Jewish. They don't realize, they might realize Wolf Blitzer's Jewish, but even then. I want to bring up an example of Harvard University that is so important because at Harvard University, the class of 2021, according to the Harvard provost numbers, it's now 14.6% black. It's 11-point-something% Hispanic. It's 22% Asian. It's about 10% foreign. And when I say Asian, I don't mean from China. I mean Asian American and Black American, Hispanic American. And of course, there's the foreigners. You get down to this very small number, like about 40% or so, 40-something percent that is white. And the thing is, That's well below the white percentage of the population. But you have, for years and years and years, you have had at Harvard and these other elite schools, and you can look at the Hillel Association's numbers, and you can look at Ron Unz. He's done a very good study on the myth of American meritocracy on his website, The American Conservative. You have typically 25% Jewish population. What you have, and this is so representative of what's going on, I want to kick this out here. What you have is basically an ethnic cleansing of non-Jewish whites from Harvard. It's the same as going on in other elite schools. It's going on in the Ivy Leagues. It's going on at Tulane, at George Washington University. It's going on all over the place. And it is so hard for people to recognize. They don't see it because, you look at Harvard and you see lots of white people. The thing is, they're Jewish. Now, here's the thing. You have the double and triple standards here because you have affirmative action for blacks and Hispanics. It's based on their share of the population. For Asians, they're well overrepresented. It's based on their merit. And for Jews, there's a little bit based on merit, but it's very largely based on nepotism. Whites are not allowed any of these. They're not allowed nepotism. That's illegal. I mean, there's so many laws against it, and they're only enforced against whites. They're not allowed merit. You can't just say, oh, well, you know, we're better qualified. We get in because 70% of the high qualifying people in, according to Ron Unz's study, are white. And you can't get in because based on your share of the your share of the population. So you don't get population, you don't get merit, you don't get nepotism, you just get crumbs. And this is what's happening. That's a microcosm of what's happening all over the United States, where whites are just getting pushed out, and it's just a reflection of exactly what I read from Peter Baynard at the beginning regarding whites having already been displaced.
Well, that was interesting. How do you think our opponents responded to that? They responded by going back and talking about gay marriage some more, gay marriage in Israel. Nobody responded to that. Because what response is there? You know, you can lie, and people will lie. Oh, that's just not true, you know. But the numbers that I got were from the Harvard Provost Office, and you can get them easily. You can Google them, and you go to Harvard's website, the Harvard Provost Office, and they release these figures. The only figures that aren't official are the Jews. And so you go to the Hillel Association, and you get those figures, which are, granted, they're estimates. And granted, at Harvard, they have the numbers have gotten very funky because they were consistently 25% or so, 24% of the student body, of the undergraduates. Now, all of a sudden, within the past year or two, since David Duke and I really started pounding this issue, that for undergraduates, that 24% or 25% got slashed in half to about 12%. I don't think I think if Harvard's started and 12%, that's not for the admitting class. That's for you know, all 4 years of undergraduates. And so if all of a sudden they started like, if they went from 25% 1 year to 12% the next year, you could only make up half of that through attrition. If you didn't accept any Jews at all, you'd go from 24% to 18%, and then the next year you go down to 12%. And that's not what happened, you know. And that would be cutting off all Jewish admissions, which we know didn't happen. But oddly enough, ironically enough, I suppose, at the same time, the Hillel Association revised dramatically downward their numbers for undergraduates at Harvard from 24-25% down to 12%. They upgraded their numbers for graduate students at Harvard from about 24-25% up to 67%, something like that, 65%, which I'm sure that's not correct either. Neither of them are correct. I think they're trying to obfuscate the numbers because they've come under so much scrutiny. I'll be doing another study soon, and instead of using Harvard as the example, I think I'll use Yale, because none of the other Hillel associations that I've come across have done what Harvard did. I think it's pretty safe to assume that they are the Jews remain about 25% of the class of 2021, and therefore, if that's the case, that means less non-Jewish whites were admitted to Harvard for the current school year than blacks. Now, there are five times as many non-Jewish whites as blacks, And I guess, maybe it's Wakanda, Wakanda or vibranium or something. Maybe they've been putting vibranium in grape drink. I don't know. And maybe everybody's gotten really smart all of a sudden. All the blacks are five times better students than non-Jewish whites. Maybe that's what's happened. And, oddly enough, that wasn't the tack that that Halsey and Tom took. They didn't argue that, no, actually, whites have just gotten to be so stupid that, even though they're 60-something percent of the population, that, they should only be 14% of the, or 13%. There should be less non-Jewish whites at Harvard than blacks. They didn't do that argument. They went back to talking about gay marriage in Israel, which isn't particularly a winning argument for them, because I don't care one way or the other, frankly, if they have gay marriage in Israel. That's their business. But the fact is that two gay people cannot get married in Israel. Tom was saying, well, they only recognize religious marriage. There's no mechanism for performing a non-religious wedding, so they have to go out of the country. Okay, fine, whatever. But, of course, who made those rules? Did the American State Department or the American Military Industrial Complex force the Israeli government to turn over the marriage laws to the Orthodox rabbinate? Rabbinate, is that how you call it? I mean, it is the Orthodox rabbinate that is in control of family law, including marriage. And that was something that David Ben-Gurion decided. He figured, well, he was an atheist. He figured, 20, 30 years from now, everybody's going to be atheists. So we can cut a deal with these Orthodox rabbis. It's not going to matter. Nobody's going to believe in that stuff 20 or 30 years from now. And of course, he was not right on that. Well, what else do we have, Mr. T? What else do we have? I think here's the next little clip. This might be about 4 minutes, and this is on I think Jewish power centers in our society. Let's take a listen to that.
We've been talking about deep state or the power behind the throne, and of course, if you learned everything there was about how the country's politics works in ninth grade civics class, there wouldn't be the discipline of political science. I mean, the fact is that lots of people look into how do things really work? What are really the power lines, the power sources in the United States? And of course, or in any country, we know that money is huge. We talk about campaign finance, for instance. We know this is huge. And if you look back at the last campaign, Hillary Clinton, as of January 2016, her top seven donors, all who donated over $1 million to the super PACs that actually fund the campaign, they were all seven Jewish. Steven Spielberg, Jeffrey Katzenberg, Herbert Sandler, Chaim Sabin, his wife Cheryl Sabin, Donald Sussman, George Soros, there's that name. And of course, if Donald Trump at that point was largely funding his own campaign, but you had this guy Singer who was financing Rubio. If you go back to 2012, you had Sheldon Adelson spend something like $100 million to try to get Romney elected. He didn't get his way, but there was lots of Jewish money behind Barack Obama as well. In fact, the Washington Post, back when it was owned by Jews, by the family of Katharine Graham and Eugene Meyer, in about 2004, it released a study saying that about 70% of the money going to the Democratic candidates in the 2004 campaign, about 70% of the money was from Jewish sources. This goes way back. There's math. This is just one example of Jewish power, because, of course, what else is involved in electing people to presidency or to Congress or overseas parliaments? The media plays a huge part. And we know the ownership and management of the Fox Group are under Jewish management. you've had, you know, the three networks from the 60s and 70s, from way back, were all run by Jews. Jews who were born in Russia and came to the United States and changed their names. So you have academia, all of the opinion forming centers, you know, whether you're talking about advertising, whether you're talking about the news media, talking about Hollywood, which Joel Stein and Ben Stein proudly proclaim as being run totally by Jews in Hollywood. And then, of course, academia, as I was referring to Harvard before. The opinion-making centers are all the opinion leaders. They're Jewish. And they exclude, they actively portray whites in a bad light, whether, you know, we're talking about the advertisements, whether we're talking about the narratives in public schools that I was referring to earlier. You know, the Holocaust, all the white guilt. And, of course, I'm just going to divert for a second about what happened in the first half of the 20th century with the World Wars, World War I, World War II. The idea that Jews were not an active belligerent in the first half of the 20th century and all the massive violence in Europe, that they were not an active belligerent, it's as insane as saying that the Kurds are not active belligerents in the wars that have been going on the past 20 years or so in the Middle East. They were active belligerents. They took huge losses, but not as huge as the Russians. The Russians took much huge losses. The Germans took huge losses. So anyway, as Mark was saying, you can't just take that ninth grade civics class approach and say, oh, well, Angela Merkel's not a Jew, and therefore Jews have no responsibility in flooding the country with Muslims. She has to deal with campaign contributors, she has to deal with the press, and she has to deal with the fact that Germany, to a very large extent, has remained an occupied country ever since it lost World War II. You know, it's to the point where they have even given nuclear-capable Dolphin-class submarines to Israel, the one country on Earth that probably would be the most likely to use them against Germany.
Okay. That was exciting. Well, the comeback to that was I had read the top seven donors to Hillary Clinton, of course, and I had also mentioned Sheldon Adelson and all the $100 billion he put into Mitt Romney's campaign and how Paul Singer was a major funder of Rubio. Those two are Republicans. The comeback was, oh, but, you know, the top five donors to the Trump campaign were Jews. Like, that disproves my point that Jews are disproportionately funding these political campaigns. It doesn't. So, you know, it's worth a listen. And I think we're starting to reach this point where our narrative is really, really penetrating. It's penetrating, and there's no response to it. And this is why we, you know, because they can't argue back, what they do is they block the video. They took down all the comments on the video of the debate. That debate is, you can't see it if you're in Britain or in most other countries. And, you know, it's just being repressed. We will be back after the break.
Hi, folks. CBD is the home run hitter for health right now. Why, you ask? Because of what it does for the body. Unfortunately, I can't tell you all about the benefit. You know, there's reasons. Do your due diligence and log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com. Ancient Life Oil uses organic ingredients and is blended in coconut oil for some of the best benefits. Legal in 50 states and non-psychoactive. Log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com.
Do you worry a lot? Whether you're a college student, busy professional, parent, or grandparent, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in 1 to 2 weeks. Call 1-800-758-8746 or calmandclever.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guaranteed. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Welcome back to the show. This is National Bugle Radio on RBN. Patrick Slattery. Our number is 1-800-313-9443, and I have some callers. I'm going to first go to Mike from Kentucky. Mike, welcome to the show.
Can you hear me?
I hear you loud and clear.
Wow. Sexiest woman ever, I think, is the clip you might want to look for. Have you ever seen the film Charlie Wilson's War?
That was with Charlie Sheen?
No, that was with Julia Roberts, who played a political operative out of Texas. Charlie Wilson was played by Tom Hanks.
Okay.
Charlie Wilson was the highest civilian ever given the highest honor that the deep state intelligence community gives to their own because of his efforts to get the war in Afghanistan going with the arming the Mujahideen so that they could shoot down the Russian helicopters and you know, the whole Iran-Contra thing ties in with that. But this, if you want to find out one of the acts to this play that we've got, that got ourselves to where we're at now with this mess in Afghanistan and the Middle East, it's Charlie Wilson's War. And there's a scene which that kind of makes you wonder how in the heck it got past the Hollywood oligarchs, where Tom Hanks is laying in a bathtub, and Julia Roberts and him have just had some kind of a tryst. Mm-hmm. Charlie Wilson, apparently Charlie Wilson was quite the womanizer. I think the whole movie starts with him in a jacuzzi with three or four other women in Las Vegas. So mm-hmm. he loved the women, you know. And mm-hmm. He was a senator, I think a I can't remember if he's a senator or a representative from Texas. And basically, all he had to do to keep his voters in Texas was not mess with their gun rights, you know. And so, anyway, he ends up with Julie Roberts is some kind of a political operative who, you get the impression she must be some kind of deep state operative herself, because she arranges for Charlie Wilson to meet with the president, Al Haq or whatever at the time, president of Pakistan. And
Zia, Al-Haq Zia, I think was his name.
Well, anyway, it's pretty funny. There's one scene in the movie that's pretty funny because he gets the Israelis to sit down with the Saudi Arabians over a belly dancer, you know, kind of a fun little thing. But it's illegal for the U.S. to arm these Arabs directly. So they give the armaments to Israel. They get funneled through Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia gives the missiles that they need to shoot down the helicopters. And so that's how they get kind of a relation. At least that's how it's depicted in the movie. They get a relationship going. But during this scene with Charlie Wilson in the bathtub and Julia Roberts is putting on all her makeup after their tryst, mm-hmm. he says, I'm not going to give you all the lurid details, but he basically tells her, he says, look, you want me to meet with the president of Pakistan? And she goes, yeah, convince him it's a Christian imperative that you help, you know, free the Mujahideen in Afghanistan. And he goes, well, I'm not sure that the president of Pakistan is a Christian, but I don't know how my contributors are going to feel about me making deals with Arabs. And she goes, congressmen aren't elected by voters. They're elected by Jews. And my contributors are in Hollywood, Florida, New York, you know, stuff like that. And she asked him, she said, how many Jews are in your district in Texas? And he goes, 7, you know. In other words, he's not worried about the people in his district. He's worried about the contributors. He says, I'm Israel's guy on the hill. I about mm-hmm. fell off my couch when I saw that scene because I couldn't believe it was in a, you know, fairly mainstream, touted as historical movie about mm-hmm. this. But that depicts Charlie Wilson back in the late 70s into the early 80s. And you should watch that movie. Anybody that wants to see how we got into this mess over there, it's obviously that we were manipulated. I think the movie is not that.
Sorry.
I'm sorry.
Who is the sexiest woman on earth then?
Julia Roberts. But okay. In the movie, she's depicted as an older woman who's really caked up with makeup. She's like a Southern belle. And the woman that she actually depicts in real life was not happy by her, you know, the way she was depicted in the movie. I've read a little bit of about that, but anyway, it's just an indicator of how long the undue influence of Jews have had on this country and their political infrastructure. So it's not a family-friendly movie, obviously, unless you're dealing with a youngster that's studying history, maybe, and then you kind of have to counsel them that not all congressmen may behave this way, although they might. It may be how they're controlled, you know, it's all the, the dirt that they may have on them. That's kind of goes along with Russell Tice. Russell Tice said that they were spying.
Yeah, and we're coming up on the break, but if you want to hang around and finish up on the other side, you're welcome to.
Well, I sure can. I mean, okay. It's up to you. All right.
All right. Well, we'll be back after the break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to aroutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome back to the show, National Bugle Radio, with Patrick Slattery and Mike from Kentucky. So would you like to continue, Mike?
Well, I found that clip. If anybody wants to find it, it's Charlie Wilson's War movie clip, The Sexiest Woman Ever. And
That's part of the name of the movie clip.
That's the name. If you Google that and you search videos, you'll find it because it's up on Movie Clips. I hate to mention this because a lot of times when I've done this in the past, I'll mention something like this, put it up in a note on Facebook, the links go dead. But you can watch the movie, Charlie Wilson's War. I've got the clip here queued up. It's about the whole thing is 2 minutes and 27 seconds, but I'll play you the pertinent part, which is about 35 seconds, if it sounds okay.
Let's hear it.
Okay, hang on.
You join. This is what I want you to do.
Oops, I clicked the wrong button. Anyway, what I was going to tell you is set this up a little bit. It's Julia Roberts putting on some makeup while she's talking to Charlie Wilson, played by Tom Hanks, in a bathtub, and she says, I want you to save Afghanistan for the Afghans.
You patronizing me.
What do you want me to do, Joanne?
This is what I want you to do. I want you to save Afghanistan for the Afghans. I want you to deliver such a crushing defeat to the Soviets that communism crumbles, and in so doing, end the Cold War.
Okay, I'll do it too, but I got this Dairy Queen problem in Nacogdoches.
Don't underestimate me, Charlie. Believe everything you've heard.
What exactly do you want me to do?
Go to Pakistan and meet with Zia.
Zia?
Muhammad Zia ul Haq.
He's the president of Pakistan.
I've already arranged it.
You've arranged a meeting between me and the president of Pakistan?
Yes.
You're going to Israel next week to meet with V. Rafi about the Lavi jets. I want you to tag Pakistan on the end of your trip.
And meet with a president.
Let him convince you that it's a Christian imperative to let the Afghans rid the country of communism.
Okay. It's not likely the president of Pakistan is a Christian, but I'm going to do this for you, Joanne, because you saved my ass once with the pro-lifers, and I owe you my seat in Congress, and because you look very good naked. But I have to tell you, I'm elected by Jews.
How many Jews do you have in your district?
Seven. But congressmen aren't elected by voters. They're elected by contributors, and mine are in, well, New York, Florida, Hollywood, because I'm one of Israel's guys on the Hill. I don't know how they're going to feel about me taking up the cause of Muslims.
Well, that's your problem.
Yes, it is.
Go fight this war and win it, Charlie. Everything possible is on the line, including your manhood.
Including your
okay.
manhood. Yeah, including anyway. Man. You could hear that and understand it okay?
Yeah, it was a little bit echoey, but I think we got it.
Yeah, basically, you know, he's being told, you're going to go do this by this woman who's they're having an affair with, you know, a long-term affair, apparently. But
and what was the background of the woman that Julia Roberts was depicting?
She's a Texas political operative who, you know, likes apparently keeping congressmen as pets. I don't know. I mean, she, you know... as he says, I'm not elected by my voters, you know, and just earlier in the movie he says, you know, all I have to do is make sure I don't mess with their gun rights, and they keep voting me in office, but I'm Israel's guy on the Hill, you know, and my contributors are in Hollywood, Florida, New York. He doesn't care about his local voters. So, you know, this is the events that led up to the fall of the Soviet Union, besides... I don't know if you know about the Operation Stillwell with Leo Wanta and how they did massive currency swaps and killed the Russian Soviet ruble, that is. There's...
Well, okay,
anyway.
I want to ask you about that in just a second.
Okay.
But, you know, the way that movie that you just played a clip from, the way that portrays it is... Charlie Wilson was worried about what his Jewish Hollywood contributors would think if he, you know, promoted this war in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
You know, it's not as if I've never made the case that the Jews are the only people that are promoting wars. For instance, in the Carter administration, you had his national security advisor, Zbigniew Brzezinski, who was Polish and seemed to have an anti-Soviet or anti-Russian chip on his shoulder.
Sure.
And I think he very clearly was a major force behind the Carter policies that led to this Mujahideen, Islamist, jihadist... War, yeah, the war, yeah, against the... Soviet-backed government of Afghanistan. So, and he wasn't Jewish. But, you know, you had the Secretary of Defense at the time, Harold Brown, was Jewish. What was his role? The Secretary of Treasury, I don't know how involved he might have been in foreign policy, but Michael Blumenthal, he was Jewish. There were plenty of Jews and plenty of Jewish influence in the Carter administration. So was it just Zbigniew Brzezinski?
Well,
you know,
he wrote that book called the Grand Chessboard. He considered the roof of the world, Afghanistan, Iran, and Iraq, basically the center four squares on a chessboard, and whoever controls those controls the world. I think that's his basic philosophy on that book.
Yeah, and that has a long history in political science. I think it's Harold Mackinder. I think he was a British geographer who, in the early 20th century. More or less, I don't know if it was before World War One or after World War One, but it had come up with that idea of this kind of Central Asia as being the key to dominating the world. You know, you dominate Eurasia from Central Asia, and then you dominate the world from Eurasia. So it has a long history.
My shortcut to the point I was kind of getting at is that I think basically the United States is being used as Israel's bulldog. They've got us on a pretty much a short chain, and there are several ways in which they've I think the elite or the people that are running things, 50 families or so that control the United States, know that they have to do, you know, a kind of cooperative effort with Israel or else. You know, I think, right now, if you saw it for weeks and weeks, they were talking about, Kim Jong-un, mm-hmm. Had missiles that could launch a nuke into the United States, but the counterpoint was, well, he doesn't have a reentry vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have a reentry vehicle, so, you know, he can't get a bomb to the ground. Well, who cares if he can get a bomb to the ground? If he can put one about 400 miles up over central Colorado, then a huge amount of the country's grid is toast, and the chaos mm-hmm. that would follow would probably destroy the world. I think mm-hmm. that most of the people that are on this level, I think, they're such that if they cannot control it, they'll just destroy it. And I think there's examples of that.
Yeah. So, hey, Mike, I want to get to my next caller.
Sure.
But you had mentioned something else about currency traders or something hitting the ruble. Can you explain that in like a minute or so?
Okay, currency traders do massive currency swaps in different markets around the world. This one guy, Leo Wanta, had a little bit of proof of what he was claiming. He actually, I don't know what happened to make him fed up with what was going on, but it was part of the plan to try to take down the economy of the Soviet Union. And he claimed that throughout the late 90s into the early 2000s, and he kind of disappeared off the radar screen after he got in some tax trouble up in, I think, Wisconsin. And he had proof that he paid his taxes, but they still kept coming after him. So mm-hmm. anyway, he had proof, he says, that the intelligence community was controlling a massive amount of money that they had shuffled around offshore that belonged to the state of West Virginia and the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania to the tune of $23 trillion. So if anybody wants to research that, I think he's called the $23.5 trillion man. So anyway,
That'll be homework. We'll want to look into that.
Sure.
There was a lot of currency manipulation of the Russian ruble in the 90s. That was post-Soviet. The Soviet ruble was not a freely traded currency. So, but homework. We'll get
That was Reagan's effort to take down the evil empire economically.
Yeah.
Part of
well,
it.
Well, I look right. forward to looking more into that and hearing more about it.
Okay.
Thanks for your call, Mike. Right. Okay, let's go to Dan in Washington. Dan, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for taking the call, Patrick.
So, what's on your mind, Dan?
Just curious, is knowledge of Jewish power rising? Like, because you see the data as far as who's hitting your website and who's listening to Stormfront. And I just got kind of discouraged today the way Don talks. It just seems like, do you think knowledge is growing or has it leveled off and decreasing at this point? You know?
I think it's growing. And, you know, Don and David Duke had kept this alive. They kind of kept this, and others, but had kept this knowledge alive throughout this period where you had almost total Jewish control over the media before the internet, right? Because they had the three networks, they had the major newspapers, and where were you going to go for alternative information? I mean, you could send a letter to some publishing house if you found out about it and get a book mailed to you, right? Or do an interlibrary loan or maybe listen to shortwave radio. But it was just hard to get at. And then, of course, Don Black, as soon as the internet became a thing, had this bulletin board. And if Stormfront.org seems antiquated, well, that's because it has such a long history. It was there for so long. So they deserve a lot of credit for that. But you've had this explosion in the past, really, the past few years. And you have, among the younger people, it's often very rude, but you have, you know, Daily Stormer. You have the rightstuff.biz, which, you know, they have these podcasts. And I do think awareness is spreading, and it's spreading fast. And so you're having people who were, somebody like Paul Nealon, who was already relatively prominent. He was always already getting national attention as being a primary challenger to Paul Ryan, the Speaker of the House. You know, it's hard to challenge a sitting congressman, let alone somebody who's in a leadership position, although Eric Cantor was ousted in a Republican primary a few years back. So you have somebody like Paul Nealon, who was already prominent, and then in the middle of his prominence is red-pilled, so to speak. In the middle of being prominent, becomes aware, you know, he reads Kevin McDonald's book, Culture of Critique, and tweets about it. So I think that's an indication that awareness is spreading. And, of course, one thing that's fueling...
I would agree. I just wonder sometimes when I listen to Stormfront, I mean, they don't make any money, and it sounds like they might be only five people out there listening to these shows, or is there... I mean, I'm just wondering, what about the audience of, like, Republican Rents Radio? And I'm just wondering why is it just... It seems like they're always about to go out of business, or they're shrinking instead of growing. You know,
so I'm not privy to all of the figures on hits on websites and things like that. I assume that it's growing, but what is also growing is the repression. So, for instance, Don Black, he's had credit card settlement company after credit card settlement company refuse to do business with him, and even myself, and I'm. You know, I'm pretty low profile, but I had my credit card processor. That's why I'm not telling you to go to nationalbugle.org, click on the donate button and send me some shekels, because you can't send me shekels anymore. You could a month ago, but you can't anymore. And so a lot of the financial trouble is not due to us not reaching an audience. We're reaching the audience, but it's... Because we're reaching the audience, they're taking these extraordinary measures to clamp down on our ability to fund ourselves.
Okay. Yeah, that answered my question. I'm in a little better mood now today, then. It gets kind of discouraging, you know. It starts kind of like you try and try. I mean, I give Don Black and you and David Duke a lot of credit for, you know, years of trying and it's hard to make progress, but hopefully it does boom, you know, keep booming.
Yeah, and, so, you know, we're not in this for the money. To the extent there's any money in this type of thing, it is in something like Alex Jones has been doing, which is skirting around the edges and then putting up false villains, you know, deflecting attention from what's really going on. He was allowed to make a lot of money, although now he's starting to feel the heat. And I think his YouTube channel is being demonetized or something like that. So he's starting to feel the heat.
I would like to see Stormfront try to do more marketing as far as, you know, I got kind of, I don't know about my idea of mementos, like a Stormfront pocket knife with a, you know, just stuff like that. I don't know if that would help. But I know Alex Jones is always pushing this, you know, male vitality and all this kind of stuff like that. But,
well, you can, you know, one way if you want to support me, indirectly at least, is I do the CoCertified ad, and CoCertified, it's an app. It really is good. And, you know, you might say, oh, well, kosher foods, how big is that? Well, okay, it's not the hugest problem in the world. But this app, which is a database of information on what's kosher and what's not, this is exactly the type of thing, the type of tool that we need, we're going to need for so many other things moving forward. If we want to avoid, you know, Zionist banks, the really evil, you know, the worst of the banks, we could have, how about a, you know, a Rothschild certified kind of app. There's so many things that could be done. So it's an important project to support. If you want to hang on, okay. We're about to go to our next break.
That's all I got. I'll check out. That's a great idea, that app, and I agree with you. That's a great idea there. So I'll just let it go and let the other callers get in. Thanks a lot.
Okay, thank you. Bye. All right, and we will be back on the other side of the break.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the show. Welcome back to National Bugle Radio. And we only have a couple more minutes left. Rather than conclude by me talking, I'm going to play my conclusion from the debate the other day. And let's see how that goes. Mr. T, are you ready?
Okay. Well, first of all, I would sincerely like to thank Halsey and Tom and Andy and Jean-Francois for this opportunity. And I really do think that this was very constructive. I think Jews take seriously their narrative that the Goyim will gas them at any minute if they have the opportunity or if things develop that way. I think this leads them to a ruthless pursuit of control over the Goyim, and especially whites, Europeans, people of European extraction. And this ruthlessness creates a vicious cycle of Jewish power seeking and white reaction. And the fact that the discussion of Jewish power is so repressed makes that reaction more desperate. And if it goes too far, potentially violent. I thank Tom and Halsey for having this discussion, and hopefully there can be similar discussions in more mainstream venues where currently they are impossible.
All right, thank you very much.
I have no ill will towards Jews. Actually, frankly, I mean, I like an awful lot of Jews. I really do. And I don't find them... I won't go into my whole idea of why you can have a lot of nice Jews who are still largely, share some responsibility for what's going on. But still, I have no ill will towards Jews, even though I find Jewish group behavior led by the Jewish elite to bear the bulk of the responsibility for the conflict between Jews and Europeans. But as David Brooks and Peter Boehner, who I mentioned earlier, and many other Jews say, Jews have displaced whites as the elites dominating our societies. But whites still have the numbers and the resources to take back control of their societies should they wake up and decide to act. It is my hope that they do so as a result of open discussions like the one that we're having now. And, by the way, prove that Jewish fears of the Goyim are unfounded. I would rather that than a situation where whites feel that their backs are against the wall and they have to snatch back out in desperation. That is my hope, that it's as a result of discussion.
Okay, well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.